Welcome back to Locked On Spurs and the Locked On NBA Network. I am Jeff Garcia, your host for today, and also the lead Spurs writer and manager at the Spurs Zone, News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Your San Antonio Spurs got a W last night versus the Dallas Mavericks, 119-109. So the Spurs, hey, it's a game closer to possibly the 8th seed, but we'll discuss that later on the show. And that segment is going to be all about the tank. Is it on or not? But before we get into that, we're going to be discussing the recent rumor or report via Chris Haynes of the TNT broadcast / Yahoo Sports, who says that pretty much DeMar DeRozan is out by June 30th or a little after June 30th if the two sides cannot hammer a deal. DeMar DeRozan shot that rumor down after the win over Dallas. So we're going to talk about that. Is DeMar DeRozan pretty much gone out of San Antonio? To do that and more, I'm joined by my good friend, ESPN San Antonio's own James Pleasure. He's also the co-host of the Saturday Morning Hangover. James, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. And do you have any reporting to do about your situation with ESPN SA? Did I need to break news for you, James?
Break news for me?
Yeah.
Oh, what are we breaking? I love breaking news.
No, well, let's break the fact that you're going to be the next program director at ESPN. Is that correct?
Wait, what? Really?
You're like, I can neither confirm nor deny those reports.
Oh, man, but what a shocker drop last night pregame by Chris Haynes, right?
Oh, my good, yeah.
Was it a shocker, though?
A little bit, because I thought a report like that would come out towards the end of the season, like that last couple of weeks, you know, for it to come out now was a little bit kind of stunning, because we finally got something concrete. You're right. Maybe the writing was on the wall, but there's nothing that was concrete reporting until last night. James, your first thoughts when you saw the report?
I mean, I believe we talked about it around the trade deadline on how we needed to either A, trade DeMar and get something for him because of the player opt-out and who's going to opt in to $27.7 million when you're one of the biggest free agents that could be available this offseason. And if you let him do that, then he's opting out and you're possibly getting nothing in return for him. Mm-hmm. So what's the point at that? And then B, around the trade deadline, we were talking about what's his reason for staying, because this team doesn't look close to winning a championship unless he just really enjoys being in San Antonio, which, you know, he's an LA guy. He came from Toronto. Those are two pretty, pretty big cities, and those cities wholeheartedly embrace him for the most part in terms of, you know, Toronto embracing him, having his back, loving him. He's never really felt the full embrace of San Antonio's love. You know, part of it's maybe because he wasn't drafted and he doesn't feel homegrown. Part of it's the Kawhi stink that is associated with him. Yep. But you look at DeMar DeRozan and what's his reason for staying? Because the team that Chris Haynes reported would be rumored to have interest should he opt out. Mm-hmm. Another huge market, the New York Knicks.
Yep. Yeah. I never visited LA, but I have visited Toronto and New York City. And let me tell you, vastly different from San Antonio.
So
and,
is LA.
Yeah, exactly.
So is LA. Yeah. I've been to everywhere except Toronto, but I know they're all just huge, huge cities.
Well, look, $27 million he's going to leave on the table. He will be the biggest fish in the pond come this free agency if the report is true and he does decide to part ways with the Spurs if a deal is not hammered out. I believe there is the magical deadline, which is June 30th. If the two sides can't agree to anything, well, then he's just going to say adios, San Antonio. And which leaves the Spurs kind of empty-handed. Do you think the Spurs could do a sign-in trade to get something for, you know, anything for him if they come to that point?
There's a possibility, but what's the point in A, DeMar agreeing to it? Yeah. Because if he opts out, he's a free agent. Sign and trade doesn't necessarily get him once where he wants to go. He can do that on his own for the maximum. Like the biggest part of a sign and trade is being able to get your max value from a team, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the point if you've got a player option at $27 million? You'd have to opt right. into that to then facilitate a sign and trade. So I don't really see what the point of a sign and trade would be for DeMar, especially, you know, it's not like if New York's his ultimate goal, what does New York have to offer? That's even, you know, it's like what LeBron did for Miami, like when he went to Miami and it was a sign and trade, like you're just going to get some pieces and parts that are really just going to take up cap space.
You're right. Like, yeah. And look,
best you'll get a draft pick.
Yeah, and look at this too. You know, this could possibly be his last shot at getting a major deal at his stage in his career. And although $27.7 million is nice, you know, with him being, as mentioned, you know, the biggest prize in a very weak and diluted free agency crop this summer, you know, he can get obviously upwards more than that. And you're looking at teams will likely throw money at him. We know the Knicks, you know, say what you will about their front office and their ownership, but they got money and money talks, and he could become.
They've got money and they've swung and missed on a whole bunch of free agents. So one that they could possibly really, really land that's not Kevin Durant, you know, it's not the upper of the upper, but to feel like they got the best free agent in a class, I mean, that's very something you got to think about, because everybody's looking to the Anthony Davis year next year. What's to say he's going to leave Los Angeles?
Right. Right. Yeah. And here's this too, you know, DeMar DeRozan, you know, kudos on him. You know, he really hasn't really made a stink in San Antonio. I mean, maybe a little bit when he first got traded, but I think that was just simply the feeling of betrayal he felt from Toronto and the GM there, but he's come in and he's done his job. He leads his team in scoring. He leads the team in assists. You know, he's putting up a great offensive numbers. You know, yes, but you know, it's been a knock on him since day one of his career. His 3-point shooting hasn't been great, but he's one of the better mid-range shooters in the league. And, you know, he's brought the Spurs some W's, but fan reaction to this, James, has been kind of, well, adios, DeMar, you know, see you later. Do you think that's warranted from the fans to really, you know, kind of kick him to the curb in the way they have been?
I mean, it's like I said when we started off, San Antonio's never really fully embraced him, even though he kind of seems like a San Antonio guy in terms of his quiet nature and reserved, you know, not really talking through the media stuff. But, I mean, you got to look at it from the perspective of, is re-signing DeMar actually good for the Spurs?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tie up that kind of money, even if it's $27.7 million? Do you want to tie up that much of your cap in an aging superstar who offers nothing from the perimeter and isn't, you know, known as a great defender? And once those skills start to diminish and the quickness and all that stuff, how good is that mid-range game going to be and able to carry him through what we know of him as a player? And once that starts to slip, how fast and how precipitous is that fall off going to be?
Right. Yeah. And look, now the positives, aside from the Spurs freeing up $27 million to play with, there's also opening up time for the younger players, your Keldon Johnsons, your Lonnie Walkers. You know, if he does make headway through the summer, you know, your Luka Samanić, that's a lot of minutes that are going to be freed up for the young guns to take advantage of if Spurs and DeRozan part ways, James.
Sure. And that's what you have to look at. Yeah. It feels like they're trying to squeeze every last bit of drop of juice out of this orange.
Mm-hmm.
When they just need to just get another orange.
Yeah.
You know, you've gotten everything you can out of this. There's not a whole lot left, and certainly not enough to make a full glass of orange juice. So just go get a new orange and try to start over again, because the longer you put this off, the longer it's going to be to get back to where you, so freeing up $27.7 million, there's nothing that says you need to spend that in free agency either.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you can have that money available, carry it over to next year's cap, maybe when LaMarcus comes off it as well. Then you'll have a whole lot of money to play with to chase one of those big free agents that's, you know, the Greek Freaks and the Anthony Davises and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Or save it for re-signing your own guys for when Keldon's deal comes up. If he continues on a trajectory that you think is going to be good, Lonnie Walker, DeJounte Murray.
Right.
You know, these are guys that they reportedly want to build around going forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
So right. If you want to build around them, give them the opportunity and let them on the floor, because all DeMar does is take up minutes at this point, which stunts their growth more than anything, I think.
Yeah, and I know we'll talk about it later, you know, but that lends to, you know, the rebuilding, you know, the tanking, if they're doing that right now, and that will lend to freeing up time to these kids run on the court, do their thing. You know, they're showing out, at least the rookies are, in Austin, but is that going to be duplicated in San Antonio? And as you mentioned, one of the hindrances has been DeMar DeRozan's minutes. Now, look, personally, in my opinion, I have nothing against DeMar DeRozan. I think he's done a bang-up job considering the situation he was put in, getting traded
Absolutely. From
Toronto to San Antonio. He's a professional. He brings it every game as much as he can, and yeah, you know, he puts up points.
But
he's
a $30-plus million player.
Exactly. You read my mind. That's where I was going with that. Is he that type of player to get that type of money? If the report is true, then probably not, you know, and the way Haynes reported it, it seemed like the tone was he's all but gone out of San Antonio. But James, we've seen this before. A report comes out like Haynes did regarding DeRozan, and then they deny it. We saw this before with, I'll give you two examples. Pau Gasol. I reported it when it was a media outlet in Spain had spoken to him apparently and said that, you know, he was going to be bought out and he wanted to get out of San Antonio. And lo and behold, he denied it the next time he met with the media, and then the Spurs bought him out. We even saw this with Kawhi Leonard.
What the player's supposed to do when that report comes out, though?
Exactly. Kawhi Leonard even said that he wanted to retire a Spur, that he was a Spur for life. And then,
actually,
you know,
I think he just said, yeah, when asked the question.
Yeah, he went, huh, what, okay.
More like just a once civil, sure.
Yeah, but the idea is we've seen this before from players, and you're right. What are they supposed to say? You know, he cannot sit there and on the table post-game, because that's how it is now with the coronavirus. They sit on a table now. They don't stand with the media. And he's told everybody, oh, who told you that? Did my mama say that? You know, he poo-pooed it. But we've seen this before, haven't we, James?
Sure. We have. The one thing that we can give him is one Woj.
That's true.
I mean, Woj is gospel.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So, and it wasn't Woj. And that's the one thing you can really have going for him is, all right, you know, maybe Chris Haynes heard something and ran with it, and DeMar's may have talked about it, but he's not really into it mm-hmm. as much as you would think. But as it pertains to the hierarchy of when you see something, you're like, oh my goodness, that's, well, then it's Woj, it's Adam Schefter, and mm-hmm. I guess Sham Sharania would be another one.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
so,
those are the guys that you when you see something come across your Twitter feed, you stop and you put full stock in it.
Yeah, exactly. So there is a good point. That is a great point. So it is quite possible we are seeing the final days of DeMar DeRozan in silver and black. And if that's true, I think, you know, if he does leave, Spurs fans, I think they will give him a nice golf clap when he returns to San Antonio with whatever team he lands with, and wish him the best, because it's pretty much looking like the Spurs are taking this season, maybe the team in a different direction in the youth movement and a rebuilding, which begs a question. Are the Spurs in full tank mode? When we get back, James and I are going to be discussing exactly that. Are the Spurs in tank mode? We're back, and I'm joined by James Pledger. He is with ESPN San Antonio, and he's also the co-host of the Saturday Morning Hangover, which you listen to every Saturday morning because it's so awesome, and you get everybody primed and ready, not only for the weekend, but you recap everybody with the latest and greatest in the sports world. There's a lot more to the sports than San Antonio Spurs, isn't there, James?
There really is. The Dallas Cowboys, the Houston Texans, the Coronas. there's a lot going on. The Olympics possibly being pushed back and or canceled. I mean, it's a busier time in sports than even normally it would be with March Madness starting.
Yeah, well, let's dive right into this. As we talked about and teased a bit in the first segment, tank, the T word. DeJounte Murray gets out. We don't know when he's going to get back. Pirtle is out. The Spurs have never really officially given a timetable when he's giving back, although he's personally said that he'll be back in 2 to 4 weeks. LaMarcus Aldridge barely got back. And then, you're looking at Keldon Johnson getting more burn. Maybe that lends to the fact that they were just injured a bit. But, James, at this point of the season, is it pretty obvious the Spurs are in full tank mode?
No, that's the problem. They're doing it wrong. Like, why do you beat the Mavericks last night by 10 if you're trying to say – why are you even bringing LaMarcus back if you're trying – why not call up Chemezi, give him those minutes, and, shelf LaMarcus for the rest of the season? There's zero understanding in what they're doing, and Memphis is helping them by losing last night, so you close the gap to 4 games now out of the 8th seed, and you start moving back up the standings, and it's frustrating. You don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because prior to the game versus Dallas, I was talking to somebody else on Locked On Spurs. I said, watch this team go out and beat the Mavericks, but yet lay an egg in Brooklyn and in Cleveland the way they did. And sure enough, it happened. The Spurs 100%. Are not in tank. Yeah. The Spurs are not in tank mode. Even after the loss versus Brooklyn and Cleveland, they were still talking about postseason. Derek White was bringing it up, saying how the losses hindered their chances at getting that 8th seed. Then after the win versus Dallas, Rudy Gay brought it up, saying, hey, this helped our chances to get to the postseason. The Spurs are clearly trying to make that playoff and break the NBA record for most consecutive appearances in the postseason, James. But should they be in full tank mode, Joe? James?
Well, once again, what are these guys supposed to say? Much like DeMar in the previous segment we were talking about, where it's like, what's he supposed to say after that report comes out? Did you hear from my mama? Then it ain't true.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So what are the players supposed to say? Of course we're fighting for the playoffs. What, do you think we want to go home? These guys get paid to play. They get paid extra when they make the playoffs. A lot of these guys aren't on big-time deals, so the money for guys on rookie deals like Derek White or whoever, it's significant money. So what are these guys supposed to be saying?
Right.
When they're asked, or what about the playoffs? Yes, the playoffs are a thing, and we're fighting for it. It's not players that tank; it's coaches and organizations. It's rotations that you see tank, and we've seen rotations that make us question whether they were tanking or not. When they'd have a big lead and then have players that aren't defensive minded in the game at the end of games, as the lead melts away.
Right.
But they go out and they do something like this, where it's clear that, the injuries are finally starting to take their toll after being relatively healthy for most of the season. And you can easily not rush LaMarcus back.
Yeah.
And they bring him back after 6 games, just a few games after Matt Bonner re-injured him. And then all of a sudden, you know, you go out and you beat Dallas. Like,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. This team, I guess it, I mean, I said it to you before, so I'll repeat it again. It's almost a light win-win. Okay, fine. You make the playoffs. Great. You know, you're going to get a first round exit likely with the hands of the Lakers, but you do something. You know, you salvage the season, you accomplish something. You get the young guys some experience in the postseason. Maybe Keldon plays. You know, Lonnie comes back. He gets run. You know, gets to taste what the playoffs are like. Build on that next season. Hey, guys, y'all got a taste of the playoffs. Let's do it again. And then there's not.
And that's the most important part when you're talking about should they push for the playoffs is the youth. But early in the season, we weren't seeing the youth. So what was the point of the postseason? To get DeMar and LaMarcus 4 more games?
Yeah. So, the Spurs are in a weird position as far as to tank or not to tank or make the playoffs or not make the playoffs. You make the playoffs, it's likely going to be an early exit. You miss the playoffs and you get a poor record, you're going to get a high pick in a weak draft. So it's kind of – I feel like the end of the season is going to be, I guess, you know, either way. That's the way I feel right now, James.
Yeah, and you're right. It's a weak draft. It's not great. So you're going to be down at 10 or later, most likely. You can't get really any higher than that. So, I mean, tankings, unless you're going to, like, tank, like, just this middling tanking that they're doing doesn't work.
No,
it doesn't accomplish anything.
Yeah, it doesn't really get them anything unless – you know, there were nearly a lot to get pick 1 through 5, and I'm pushing even that, maybe, but they're not even going to get that. You know, the way the ping pong balls bounce, they'll likely get, you know, high, you know, low teens, maybe, something like that. So it's a weird situation the Spurs are in, you know, but hey, you know, the bright side of this is that it'll be all over soon, James. You know, there's only like a little over 20 games left in the regular season. So, yay. I don't know, James.
I mean, even what you want to accomplish out of the season, no matter which side of the court it's on, whether your team tank or your team playoffs, if you go for the playoffs and you miss, it's a failure, right?
Yeah.
But if you tank, I mean, you're not getting a decent enough draft pick. So, nice. I mean, it's kind of like a lose-lose in a sense because nothing of subsequence comes from it unless you actually make the playoffs. And then, as we've seen, we're seeing Keldon get some more minutes. We're seeing, you know, Lonnie get some more run finally. You know, we're starting to see these things out of these – players that we've been clamoring for all season long, which helps.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty. But, I mean, if you miss the playoffs, then it just kind of ends for them. You lose the possibility for playoff experience for your young guys. Yeah. And where does it go from there?
Yeah, and then it also pretty much, you know, if they miss the playoffs, it just ignites what could be a very active offseason for them as far as reshuffling the roster. You know, DeMar DeRozan, they'll cross that bridge. You know, do they want to move up in the draft? Do they dangle some pieces to try to move up? It's going to be an interesting summer. So however
outside
the season ends.
Outside of LaMarcus, what piece do they have to move up?
I mean, do they even dare even thinking about – you know, packaging their pick, maybe whatever they land with one of their other players, an expiring contract. I don't know. I'm just trying to find something positive that the Spurs can build on in the offseason.
I'm going down the rabbit hole with you, and I'm like, outside of LaMarcus Aldridge, what can you possibly package to move up?
Yeah. Yeah, the Spurs. Yeah, and I think that statement.
Multiple future firsts.
Right. And I don't see them pulling that move. I don't, you know, because they need to start rebuilding now. And if
the trajectory of this team, what we've seen from it is what we think it is, you're going to need those future firsts because
exactly.
either that or you better hit on whoever you trade up for.
Exactly.
And he better be the second coming of Tim Duncan.
Well, that ain't going to happen, especially in this draft. All right, but we're going to take a break, but when we get back, I'm going to ask James what he's been liking out of the young guy, Keldon Johnson. We're back, and I'm joined by James Pledger. He's the co-host of the Saturday Morning Hangover, which you can find on ESPN San Antonio 1250. James, I got to ask you, what have you been liking out of KJ? What have you been seeing? He's seen a spike in minutes. What do you like? What don't you like?
I love me some KJ. Actually, we talked about it shortly after the draft here on Locked On Spurs, which was, you know, it would have been a great draft had they drafted Keldon first and Luka second. Mm-hmm. They just happened to draft Luka first and stumble into Keldon second. But, you know, Keldon's always been my favorite draft pick just because of his ability, his tenacity, his, you know, his want to do the dirty work, and also his ability to score, whether, you know, I see him not quite as a Devin Booker, but you could kind of see a parallel in terms of he can shoot from outside. He's got, you know, the ability to put it on the floor and make a play. And then you saw the tenacity last night against the Mavs where he's guarding Luka, goes up, blocks it. You know, he's a 6'5 guard that's guarding a 7'1 big with handles and the ability to put the ball on the floor that's a triple-double machine and has been making everybody look silly. And he just D'd him up, blocks him, rips the ball, gets it out ahead to Bellinelli for a three.
Well, I like what I see out of him. I enjoyed every single minute he's been on that court. The players also echo what you're saying, James. Derek White, I think it was after the game versus Brooklyn, he was talking to us in the media, and then, you know, KG's name was brought up. And his reaction was this: that boy can ball. He can drive to the rim. He'll finish. He's competitive. Derek White is a fan. Patty Mills said he's been impressed by the young guy. And I think KJ has proven himself in the G League more than enough that he can play basketball at that level. And you're starting to see it translate on the NBA level. Even when he had a bad game offensively versus Dallas, you mentioned that defense. And I think, you know, Popovich is seeing that and saying, oh, okay, he does what I like best. We might start seeing him get increased minutes as the season goes on, James.
I would hope so, because he does do what Pop likes, and defense and attention to detail. Those are things that, you know, Pop loves, and those earn you minutes as a Spur when you're young. Mm-hmm. And so seeing more of him would definitely be beneficial not only to him to get some NBA run, but also to the Spurs, because you need to see what you have. We all see the writing on the wall that the end is near with this team, the dynasty that was. Like, you changed the tires on the car going 55 like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
At some point, you're going to have a blowout. You just are. And this is tending to be toward the blowout season.
Mm-hmm.
So get your youth some run, because your youth is the future right now, because we've all at least been in some sort of agreement that LaMarcus and DeMar are ancillary pieces to a possible championship team, but they aren't the foundation of your championship team.
Right.
And as long as that's the case, and the way the West is stacked and the way the East is coming up, I mean, they're ancillary pieces on a really good team. But if they're your focal pieces, you're bottom of the rung, you know, fighting for a playoff team. And we've seen that for multiple seasons now.
Yeah, you're right. And KJ has been one of the bright spots this season. and which has been a very poor season for San Antonio standards. And I think they struck gold in the draft. I think they were fortunate to have KJ land on their lap the way they did at the draft. And he's out there to prove himself. Even after the loss versus Brooklyn, he told the media, you know, that he was still about team first. A lot of the questions were directed more at him, his play, his personal growth, his time in the NBA. He kept on deflecting it to the team, saying, well, the team got a loss. We're upset about this loss. I'm doing whatever I can for the team. I really like that out of him, you know, to see him focusing more on the bigger picture than the individual. Now, obviously, individually, he'll work on that in the offseason and with the Spurs. But, you know, I think he's ready. I think he's ready to start seeing himself get more minutes, be very integral in the Spurs attack moving forward. All right, James, I know you're a busy man. You got work to do. Let's go ahead and
There's really two more things I would like to see out of this Spurs season, though.
Okay, go ahead.
Aside from the increased minutes for Kelton and things we've talked about, there's two more things you would like to see. You would like to see Chemezi and Quindary get a little more run, I think, because I think Quinn has a skill set that this team could use, and he plays kind of the same way in terms of KJ, of, you know, hustle, heart, it's all kind of there. So you'd like to at least see it at this level a little bit more. And Chemezi Metu, like, he is the, like, I don't think he's going to be the end all be all. I think he will be a serviceable NBA player, but he's kind of exactly what the modern NBA is. He's a rim running big that can step out and guard on the perimeter. And, you know, he's a Jordan Bell type player. You know, he's a guy that's, he's not great, but he's going to carve out a niche and be a solid NBA player that can, you know, he's Dwayne Dedman. He's one of those kind of guys where he has the athleticism and the length to defend down low, but he also has the foot quickness and the ability to step out on the perimeter when asked to switch out there. And you would like to see those two players probably get more minutes in the league with the Spurs than they have been getting.
I agree with you. I think Metu, of the two, deserves more run with San Antonio. He's not just a paint guy, board guy, dunk guy. He's developing a three-point shot. It's not reliable, but he's knocking them down. And he's developing a very Duncan-esque jab step, face-up, jump shot off the backboard. He's shown that plenty of times in Austin. He deserves a shot. There's also a segment of Spurs fans now that are doing the hashtag free Metu. That's how much they want him to join San Antonio. Yeah. So Metu, in my opinion, I think of the two now, and I'm not knocking Spoon. I think Spoon has a great skill set. I love that he's built like a freaking tank. You know, he really is. And I think he could take a lot of punishment, finish at the rim strong. But I think Metu, you hit it on the head. It fits with exactly the Spurs need, that rim running big. They don't have. Pirtle's not it.
It's not just what the Spurs need. It's what the modern NBA is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, and the Spurs have a piece that could fit in with the modern NBA, and he's just in Austin right now. So hopefully at the end of the season, or especially in the summer league or during the training camp, we see Metu get his shine as well as Spoon. James, tell everybody about Saturday Morning Hangover.
Yeah, join RJ and myself. We are Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. You can catch it on 1250 on the AM, 94.5 on the FM, or if you're listening abroad, ESPNSA.com, wherever you are. We're also on Facebook Live every Saturday morning. You can hit us up at facebook.com/ESPN San Antonio. Watch us there as we goof off in studio. We also go through the comments. You can follow us. I am at I Am Pledger on Twitter. He is at RJ Ochoa, or tweet at the station at ESPN_SA for all the latest. And we also interact on, during the show with our listeners via whether it's Facebook or Twitter. So fully interactual. And, you know, we just love to kind of cut it up and kind of see what the pulse of San Antonio is.
There you go. Give them a listen. Saturday Morning Hangover. It's a great show. I'm fortunate enough to be asked on from time to time to talk some Spurs. So I highly recommend you follow James and the rest of the ESPN social media personalities and outlets ASAP. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Go to the Spurs Zone News Force San Antonio, Fox 29 San Antonio. Subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you find your favorite podcasts. So for James Pledger, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.